And it's a big week when it comes to things going on in outer space, as we like to say. Beginning on Monday, there's a two-hour documentary on the Science Channel called NASA and SpaceX Journey to the Future. It'll air the next day on Discovery. And then the biggie on Wednesday, the 27th, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 o'clock out here, Space Launch Live, America Returns to Space, and this is going to capture the launch of SpaceX's crew on the Dragon capsule. And joining us to talk about that is veteran astronaut and spacewalker Mike Massimino, who's this is the third time in about a month. Mike, we're going to have to start paying you now, my friend.
Really? Thank goodness. kind of slow with this virus.
No doubt. Now, here's the thing that I didn't know, and I admit my ignorance. I thought SpaceX and Elon Musk and NASA didn't team up, but I'm wrong here, aren't I?
Oh, yeah. They've been teaming up for a while. When we lost the space shuttle, we lost the capability to fly people to space, but also cargo. And so for a couple of years, we had no way to even get cargo up there. We were depending on our international partners to do that. And with a contract with SpaceX and another company called Orbital Sciences, we started launching cargo a few years ago. So SpaceX has been providing launch services to the space station for cargo and for other satellites and so on, working with NASA for years now. But the thing that's different now is that we're going to be flying people for the first time on a SpaceX vehicle.
Well, that's the thing we hear about this Russian monopoly. And look, there's no government in outer space, and all scientists are, you know, brothers and sisters, what have you. But, you know, there's a Russian flag on the sleeve, and there's an American flag on the sleeve. So does it personally, do you kind of think, hey, it's been long enough, we need to get some Yankee Doodle Dandies up there?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. If nothing else, it's just another way to get to space. For the past 9 years, we've only had one way to get there, and that was been the Russian Soyuz. When we had the space shuttle system, we had the shuttle, and we had the Soyuz, and now we've been relying totally on the Soyuz. And we've all the Americans that have flown, including my friend Chris Cassidy, who's up there now, had to go to Kazakhstan and launch on that Russian vehicle, which is okay, but it's a whole different story launching from the United States. And the sense of the whole culture down there at the Kennedy Space Center, and they've been still launching things. They just haven't been launching people since 2011, but it's starting to awaken again. And it's really exciting to see that happening. And I think it's very special, especially for American astronauts to be able to launch again from the United States. You can invite a lot of people can attend. It was very difficult to get family and friends over to Kazakhstan for those launches. It just didn't have the same appeal to it, I don't think. And also, we're not reliant on just one source or just one other country to help us. You know, we now will have SpaceX and hopefully Boeing not too much further along this year will also be launching astronauts. And who knows, the administrator of NASA now is future-minded and wants to have even more companies involved sending people to space. So this could open up a whole new set of opportunities that we could only dream about before.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was 2001, where we gathered around at the office here and watched on our computers a little postage stamp-sized screen of the launch in Kazakhstan of the Sirius satellite. I mean, that's the only place that they were going to get it up.
Really?
A couple more questions for Mike Massimino. I remember during the Clinton administration when all the military bases were being closed that he was thinking about getting rid of NASA. Was that ever a real thing? Did that ever get close?
What I heard, and this is a little bit before my time, I was finishing up grad school around that time and then went to work at the Johnson Space Center, but not for NASA. And from what I remember that was going on at that time was that the space station was primarily an American space station up till that point. And it had a lot of cost overruns, and it was maybe not doing as well as people had thought. And so the change was made to make it an international space station. And it was seen that the cooperation with the Russians was seen as something of value. And that sort of got it through Congress. I, you know, Rick, you're testing my memory here. it was so long ago now, but I think it was, and I don't always pay attention to anything going on politically there, but I think what happened was is that it very narrowly passed through the Senate. And what the appeal was, not only to get a station up there, but also to get an international agreement together and to work with the Russians, because at that point, you know, it was very close, only a couple of years after the turn of the government from communism, from the Soviet Union to Russia a few years earlier, and they wanted to try to get a friendly way to work together, and certainly space is. And we work very well with our Russian counterparts, particularly at the astronaut-cosmonaut level. There's no issue. Sometimes our governments might have a different story. But yeah, it was pretty close. I think it was more, and I don't know if he was really going to get rid of NASA. I think it was more that the space station was in danger, and with the international cooperative agreements, it was able to save it.
Very well. All right, let's talk about what the Dragon capsule is going to do. You got some veteran astronauts, Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley. These guys are friends, and you know this isn't mm-hmm. a Tesla with a mannequin in it. These are real guys. What yeah. are they going to be doing when they go up?
Their job is to be test pilots on this flight. Doug is a military test pilot, Marine Corps aviator, went through test pilot school, was a test pilot. Bob is an Air Force guy. He was a test flight engineer. He's also got a PhD. We called him Dr. Bob because it's kind of unusual. I mean, I had a PhD, but I'm a civilian. He was a military guy with a PhD, so that was a little more unusual in the astronaut office. But a real smart guy, but also went through test pilot school. And so both of them have been through test pilot school. They're veterans of a couple flights each on the space shuttle. And on this flight, it's primarily a test flight. In fact, it is a test flight to see how the vehicle performs. They're going to send it through its paces. Because they're like-minded test pilots, they'll know what to look for. They'll be taking notes and making observations and seeing how it handles and any problems with the systems or anything that could be better, and lessons learned to hand on. That's what they think about, is how to test the vehicle. And that's what they'll be doing. They'll be doing this one in space.
And this isn't just going up and coming back. They're going to be up there a while, right?
Yeah, we're not exactly sure how long they're going to be up there. It could be anywhere from around 30 days to like 119 days. And so they're going to be up at least for a month or so, and maybe longer. A lot of it depends on the next launch of SpaceX, because they want to get another SpaceX vehicle up with a crew that is going to stay on space station for more like 6 months. And so based on how all that works out logistically, they may come back earlier or later. But I think the idea is to try to keep them up there as long as they can to get as much data on how the vehicle does in the vacuum of space, because the thing's got to be able to do well while docked for a while. You know, it's got to stay alive in the high radiation vacuum of space in order to get people home. So I think they would like to extend the mission as long as they can. But right now, which is kind of unusual, usually you have an idea that when we're coming back, and then that can change. It always seems to change a little bit. But in this case, they really have an open-ended time frame on this. They're not really sure exactly when they'll be coming back.
So when they come back, do they come back and land like the shuttle, or do they come back in a little pod with parachutes like the Apollo guys?
Yeah, this is more like the pod. The shuttle was a very interesting spaceship. And we haven't talked too much about the shuttle. I've been doing a lot of interviews, Rick, but we're all talking about this new spaceship. But if you look at the shuttle, was amazing that it could carry a lot of payload, had a huge payload bay, could carry seven astronauts, and was able to service the telescope on my missions, build a space station. It did all those things. It could bring a lot of people back and a lot of cargo back. We brought a lot of stuff back and landed on a runway. So that made it really cool, but also a bit expensive, and as we learned, a little dangerous too, having to do all of those things in a very complicated, complex way. With this new vehicle, it's similar in shape, to what we've had before, including the Soyuz and the Apollo spacecraft and spacecraft came before. There's more like a blunt body, what we used to call a capsule, but a blunt body spacecraft, and that they will land in the ocean. So they will be recovered at sea, not too far from the Kennedy Space Center. So that's what the plan is for this vehicle. Come down in a parachute, land in the ocean, and the recovery ship will go get them.
Well, super exciting times, especially if they're a little bit of a dormant period. We're going to have Americans back in space. Remember to check it out Wednesday the 27th. It's going to be on both Discovery and Science channels around 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, and we've been speaking with veteran astronaut, our buddy Mike Massimino. Mike, thanks so much for coming on. I know you're going to be a part of it, lending your expertise and your insights. We're looking forward to seeing it, and thanks again, man.
Hey, Rick, I really appreciate it. It's always fun to talk with you, and thanks for the interest. And to everyone listening, good luck. Hang in there, and I hope you get a jolt of inspiration from what's going to happen on Wednesday. It's going to be an exciting day.
Very cool. Can't wait for that. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we will come on back on Sports Buzz.